Hello everyone, welcome to Combox, where the game lives on. I'm your host Varun Alvakona, and I'm joined by Jared Kimber as always. And today's episode of Footmarks is on Welcome to the Bulkpocalypse. So Jared, you recently have written a piece. I don't know when this is going out and when that will go out. We should probably should have confirmed. But you basically, it's a long-winded way of saying people are scoring quicker because of the impacts of error. And that's the end of the podcast.
I think it actually came from something quite different, right? Which was, I just kept watching these games where in the second half of games, people weren't scoring quickly. And thinking to myself, everyone is telling me how many runs are being scored. And then I'm watching guys who can't hit sixes at the end anymore, right? And so there's an element of, undeniably, the run rates have gone up, but where have they gone up and how have they gone up was the big one, because they're not going up at the death. I didn't know how true I was when I came up with that, but it just felt very, very obvious to me that it was, when people were talking about what was happening, it was very narrow-minded onto the way they were looking at the game.
So the runs per over was 8.54 in 2022, which was the last year before the impact sub. It was when we did this, it went up to 9.89, which is, we're still not at 10 runs per over, but I feel like at some point we might get there, or unless the pitches really slow down.
Yeah, I think, you know, who knows what might happen towards the end of the year, right? We might have that. But when people say 200 is a pass score, I think it's worth having that conversation now for the first time ever. Whereas I remember when everyone said 300 to pass score in ODIs. It's like, well, actually 240 is a pass score in ODIs. So I think we're much closer to 200 being a pass score in T20 cricket than we've ever been before. But that's when I wanted to look at what the impact was, pardon the pun, on everything else in cricket. And that's when you realize this is really only happening in the IPL. And specifically, it only started happening when they changed the regulations.
Yeah, because historically, I think if we take a look at which areas get the most run scoring, it's always the death, right? That's always what happens. The death pushes the limits, then it trickles down to the middle overs, and then the power play comes, right? And that's what we're seeing is completely different, where it's the power play which is like leading the charge on these higher run rates, right? We don't see teams blocking out the power play anymore. Right? If we look at the first over, which is probably one of my favorite things ever, for a long time, even till 2023, it was basically a given that the first over would go for six runs, right? Teams, it's always six for zero, isn't it? Which isn't quite insane when you think about it, because it's the first over is usually when there's the most amount of swing and we don't see any wickets or any boundaries.
Yeah, and not only you say it's six runs, but it's also sometimes less than six, like as in some years it was averaging like 5.7 runs an over, right? So it's a very, very confusing over, all things considered.
It was 5.2 in 2013.
Oh my God. And I kind of understand it on some levels. The ball is swinging. You want to get yourself set and everything else. But it also means you're wasting a lot of time in the power play when you don't really need to waste that time. And separate to that, also, people quite often bowl really bad balls with the new ball, right? Like it slips out of their hands all the time. It seems like everyone was, I think there was an agreed upon way of playing T20 cricket. And one of them was just knocking the ball around at the start. And what has happened now is that teams are like, no, we can't waste any of the power play.
Yeah, and in this year, I think the first over has gone above 9 runs per over. It's at 9.2. This is remarkable because everyone's doing it. Gujarat Titans, who are the most conservative first over team, were getting 9 and 10 runs an over in the first over regularly this season, right? We're not even talking about the lunatics like Vaibhav Suryavanshi, Abhishek Sharma, or Priyansh Chaharia at this point. Even the anchors are trying to score quickly in the first over. And that's been a big change for this.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't happen in 2023. Am I remembering that right?
Yes.
I'm just trying to remember. Yeah. And so the first year of the impact sub, teams keep playing the normal way. And then basically from 2024, and I know Travishek get a lot of credit for this, but it's not just them, right? We see it right across. In fact, Sunrisers aren't particularly one of the more faster scoring first over teams compared to some of the others. You know, Phil Salt's a one-man machine in the first over, right? Like, you know, there are certain players who kind of do it on their own. Aria, Salt, those sorts of guys. But it doesn't happen in the first year. So there are some things that change straight away with the impact sub, and there are some things that take a year to come in. And so I do think that there has been lots of conversations and discussions about, actually, we are watching people learn T20 cricket in the IPL in real time. This is completely different to what was happening 4 years ago.
I think for the Impact Sabera, the critical point was probably the 287 game, right? Not the 278 game. Because with 278, if the team did it once, you'd be like, okay, it hit that record had stayed for like a decade. Someone was bound to break it. The fact that Sunrisers did it again the same year, I think that changed T20 cricket, right? We see RCB's revolution starts from that game, essentially, right? They go, okay, we can't just keep making below par scores, and we have to attack. And Virat becomes, I think Virat Kohli is almost a very important person in this, right? He's almost the last of the old guard, and he changed, and everyone followed a lot with him.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing is that once, what happens in most major sports is when there's a trend, everyone sort of hops on, right? So even, as you said, Gujarat, who we're not talking about a team like this, I think everyone's looked around and been like, we have to do something here, and the game is changing very drastically around us. So you talked about the first over. You might have the stats there, but what are the stats in the seventh over? Because the seventh over, again, was very traditional. People would, you know, I used to call it the captain's over. You would sneak your worst bowler out in that over if you had to. And now, so in 2022, it was about a run of ball, just over a run of ball?
Yeah, it was 6.81.
6.81. And what is it this year?
When we did it, it was 8.6, basically.
So it shows you this isn't just about the power play. This is a whole different way that teams are playing. And if you look at it from the perspective of the way that T20 cricket has always been played, which is from the start, we were told if you lose 3 wickets in the power play, you're going to lose. We always thought that was a bit of a silly way of thinking about things.
Is it 75% or is it 70% of the games?
It changes every time we talk about it anyway. But that percentage, I think, was really, it became such a big stat and was so talked about. Whereas actually, when you look at it, the best thing that you can do is bat in a way to get yourself into a position where you're definitely going to make runs in this game. Right, like it's actually very, very hard not to be able to do that. The best time to hit boundaries is with a hard ball and with the field up, right? Nothing has changed in that. The ball is still swinging at the same amount. The ball is still seaming. People are still bowling really, really good deliveries up top. It's just that teams are like, we are going to go harder. And that's why I think the actual impact sub is so fascinating, is because the impact sub usually means you have a lower order batter coming in. Right, it's usually someone coming in further down the order available to you, or it extends your order a little bit, whichever way, whether even if it's a top order player coming up, they extend your order a little bit. But actually, all the impact is at the top. It's not by from making, it's not the batting order being longer. It's not like people are using the number 7 and number 8 better than they used to. Number 7 and number 8 actually aren't still not having a very big impact on T20 games.
I think I was telling you, right, in the live yesterday, The top three have a better strike rate than number 7, 6, and 7 this season.
Right. And so what is happening is we are, for the first time ever, expanding what is possible for top order batters. And for people like me, we've been talking about this for 20, 30 years now. Like, I've always thought this was possible. I never really understood the way that we played before. And also, this is what our frustration has been with, you know, people like Kohli and Williamson and Bubba Azam and Steve Smith. Yeah, all these sorts of guys, right? Is that your best batters are the ones most likely to score really, really quickly because they have more options than anyone else and they can play more kinds of bowling than everyone else, right? And what the impact sub has done is really open that up, right? So that now you can really go hard and Kohli can attack pace bowling the way that you and I always wanted him to attack pace bowling, right? But the funny thing is the extra batter at the end isn't making much of a difference. It's really just the fact that they know it's there. And that's, as we've talked about a lot on this channel, that's the Evan Goldbus effect, right? When you look at a batting order and you can see that it goes really deep, your top order plays with more freedom and everything else. Have a look at the great England team, right? When they were going all the way, you know, down to number 9, 10, and 11 in some of those games, look at the freedom that their top order played with. And when you have really skilled top order players, as a lot of these teams do, suddenly it's just opening up. And so that first 10 to 12 overs is huge when it comes to scoring now.
And the other thing which makes it surprising is if we look at fast bowling in general, the default bowl of fast bowler balls is the one that doesn't seam. I don't know if many people talk about that. So I think if you look at it historically, do you remember we were talking about this, where it's from 2015 to 2019, batters really respected that. And now batters are smashing that. I think that's, again, a big change. Because I've been hearing a lot from people that, oh, okay, it's like batters are worse when the ball moves now. I looked into the data, Jared. They're not any more better or worse. They're just as shit when the ball moves as they were 10 years ago. What we're seeing now is if the ball moves a little bit, they're better. If the ball doesn't move at all, they're a lot better.
Yeah.
And what Himanish was telling us, he's also correct, is we are seeing more flat pitches. And what my point is, I don't disagree that we are seeing more flat pitches. My argument is batters are better at being flat pitch bullies now than they were 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. I think that's a good point, and your data's shown this, and Himanish and myself, we've all looked at this in different ways, right? Which is when the ball, there's a couple of ways of putting this. When the ball is not doing anything, there were times in traditional cricket where people would still hit that ball for a single, right? If they get an overpitched ball, Andre Fletcher played with me at St. Lucia. And if he was facing finger spin and he got a low full toss, he would punch it down to long off for one, right? Over and over again. Players don't do that anymore, right? Every bad ball is now maximized. And I think that's the thing that the casual people or the people who are not like hardcore looking at this are not seeing. What they're seeing is, oh, there's more fours and sixes, so it's a flatter pitch and the game's being ruined for bowlers. There's elements of that that are true. But the other element is now, and we've seen this with Varun Chakravarti recently, is every time you miss your length, every time you bowl wide, you are a chance of being hit for a boundary. And traditionally, no form of cricket has ever had this before, right? And that is a combination of new batters being set up for that, and then the impact sub allowing you to know that you've always got one extra batter in your lineup, right? Even if it's only half a batter at number 8, whatever it may be, you've always got that little bit of extra batting available to you in that side, and so you can go that little bit harder. So they are punishing every single mistake of bowlers, and this is something that people who've watched cricket for 20 and 30 years will never agree with. They will say, our bowlers were more accurate in the old days. But if you go back and you look at some of the great overs bowled by people, there's full tosses in them. There's wide half volleys that are missed and everything else. Players don't miss those shots as much as they used to, right? And it's much harder to bowl a Yorker than ever before. There's all these like little things that have changed within cricket that make it really, really tough for bowlers at the moment. But one of those is, without anything changing at all in cricket, players are much better at hitting boundaries off bad balls. And that would have happened without flat pitches and would have happened without impact subs. Those two things have nothing to do with the other two changes. I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Yeah, I think we're also seeing this carry over to other formats, aren't we? Like, batters are doing that in Test cricket a lot, right? They're like, wait, if the ball is not doing anything, why am I blocking it?
Yeah.
Right? I do think Test batters are taking it too far. I'm like, for the love of God, like, just learn how to leave the ball at times, please. But yeah. But I think it's quite fascinating because there's also an element of common sense here, isn't there, Jared? It's like, well, if the ball is hard and new at the start and there's only two fielders out, that should be the fastest scoring period of your game, is it not?
Yeah,
then
exactly.
The ball is older and all the fielders are out.
Yeah, and I think that's what the impact sub has shown us, is it actually might be easier to score in the first 10 overs just because the ball is harder than anything else. And I think that is something that we had never really thought about before. But that is because of the way the cricket was playing. Right? In our minds, we thought the cricketers were doing right. And what we're seeing happen in real time in front of us is actually the cricketers have always thought about this incorrectly. How many times this year have we seen a team like, 100 after 10 overs, and in our heads we're thinking 240, 250, and they make 200? It's happening so regularly. And that's because in our brains, you ramp up. Whereas actually these teams have already ramped up and now they're trying to stay on. On top of that, what is happening in real time is that teams are getting much better at bowling defensively, right? It's the one thing that no one's talking about, but how often do we see players just can't get the ball away for long periods of time?
Also, teams are going to defensive plans much quicker than they did historically. Right?
Even in the power play, right?
Power play, right? Bowlers are bowling wide Yorkers. They're going for the Yorkers. That never used to happen. It's always bowl length, think twice, bowl length again, Right? We don't see that anymore. They're like, we'll build the slower ball bounces, we'll build slow ball length, we'll build the slower ball ones that dip that are fuller and that are wide as well. Right. Sometimes it's annoying to watch it when it happens too much. Where like we've all seen the Steep Singh overs where his ball is 25 balls in an over because he keeps bowling wides. Right. But that is a deliberate plan from teams, isn't it? Like, because they're like, well, we have to go to defensive bowling soon. Otherwise, these lunatics will keep scoring.
Exactly. And I think there's a really interesting period in games now, right, isn't there? Probably between the fourth, fifth, and sixth over, where everything is in favor of the batters, and yet the bowlers have to now completely change every theory they've ever had and come at that from a very, very different angle. And I think that's without doubt what we are seeing at the moment, is teams are looking at this and going, how do we manage this situation? And so, yes, we're going to bowl slow ball. So one of the things we talk about in the piece is Mohammad Shami, right? Who is traditionally, it's funny, I talked to Abhishek Jhunjhunwala, who sort of grew up with Mohammad Shami, and I said, do you remember him bowling at slow ball? And he's like, no, like it just wasn't a thing that he ever did. And he's never had a particularly good slower ball either, right? Like, because he's such a good fast bowler, occasionally his slower ball will get a wicket, but it's really obvious. He cocks his wrist really early. It doesn't have the dip that other people have. You know, it's not one of these magical Ngidi or Dwayne Bravo type slower balls, right? But now he's having to bowl it early on, whereas there was no time early in his career when he would even think about it. We're looking at years where he was bowling, what, less than 1% of his deliveries in the power play.
I think in the power play, no, it was, there's some years where it's zero.
Yeah, right, zero, that's right. Yeah. Which is less than 1%, to be fair, Varun. But
what is it, nearly 10% now?
And yeah, was it 8 or 9 last year and 10% this year? Like
roughly.
That's
and
huge.
In the SRH game, he kept going to it in the power play, didn't he? Do you remember when they just couldn't score off him?
Right? And I remember
that's what we never saw.
Yeah, I remember a piece I did years ago about Dwayne Bravo, where I think Dwayne Bravo was bowling slow balls around 15-20% of the time, and by the time he retired, he was up to 50%. I think we've seen Lungi Ngidi at 60%. Not to mention, you know, guys like Benny Howell and Andrew Tai, who might have at times been at 60% and 70%, right? Like, we are now seeing bowlers who are more likely to bowl an off-pace delivery than on-pace. And that's really, again, only in the last 5 years that we've ever had these sorts of bowlers coming through. This was not a thing that we saw beforehand. And so it's also changed the way that batters score, because the ramp isn't as popular as it was a couple of years ago, in part because fast bowlers aren't putting the pace on the ball, right? It's hard to bowl. It's hard to play the ramp of those shots. And as you said, they're specifically going to that earlier and earlier. So the period that was where the ramp shot was at its best used to be 4, 5, and 6, right? Mm. So now it seems like, well, it won't be as easy if we bowl a third of our deliveries to slow balls, right? You're going to have to handle that. So bowlers are catching up as well, but there is this huge growth in the way that the scoring rates are going through the roof. And, you know, I compared it to internationally and to all the major leagues. Up until the Impact Sub, the PSL was the fastest league in the world, right? The PSL was absolutely hammering. It was the first league ever to have a pass score over 180, right? No one had ever done that before in franchise cricket. And so they had those scores coming through. And then, and they're still fast. It's still a really fast scoring league. And yet they are now nowhere near where the IPL is. The Impact Sub has taken the IPL from a fast league, but not always the fastest, to by far and away the fastest league by a huge distance. And so it would be hard to say that it's not the Impact Sub playing a huge role, because the pitches are pretty flat in Pakistan too.
Yeah, the funniest thing about that, Jared, is that for a long time, PSL was the bowling league, right? That's where you went to see all the...
Back in the old days, yeah.
All the new young fast bowlers come through. I think Shane Watson once said that as well, right? It's like, well, the IPL is really good for quality of cricket, but if you want raw fast bowling talent, you have to look at the PSL, right? And it changed. The moment they went to Pakistan, the whole thing changed. It's just, you're forcing a country that's grown up on power scores and bowling to all of a sudden become a country that is... to get above par scores. They're finding it very difficult to do that, right?
Yeah. And so the IPL has usually been a batting league, but not when I looked at the numbers, it wasn't... I thought it would always be marginally ahead of the curve, but there was a few years there where it was actually behind the worldwide runs per over. And so you look at that, and if you just cut off the Impact Sub area, you wouldn't think that this was about to become the fastest scoring league in the world, would you?
No, absolutely not.
You know, and where we see the real exponential growth is things like the first over and the seventh over, right? It's the first half of the game where things have changed. The second half of the game is a completely different story.
I think it's the first time. This is the closest the gap is big in between the first turnovers and the second turnovers, isn't there?
I think it's a strike rate difference of 4 or 5 or something silly like that.
6.29.
Yeah. And the next closest is basically 13 or something. And in some years, it's 20 and 25 and all this sort of thing. So quite consistently through the whole history of the IPL and through the whole history of T20 cricket, as you might expect, the longer you go in the innings, the faster you score. And now that is being changed. And I wouldn't even, if we keep going at the rate we're going at the moment, it would not surprise me if next year the first 10 overs are faster scoring than the second 10 overs.
Yeah, and speaking of that, like, we are already at a point where the power plays outscored the rest of the innings, which has never happened in the IPL, right?
Or any other league.
Yes, or any other league, which is remarkable, isn't it?
So right at the moment, the power play is as quick as any other time. And again, this is this impact sub coming in. It can't just be flat pitches because, my God, I've seen some of the pitches they play on in Pakistan. It has to be that extra batter coming in. And I think the most important thing with the extra batter is also how it doesn't help the bowling team as much, right? Especially in a year when there's so many bowling injuries. But just in general, you still only have 20 overs to be allocated to everyone. With the batting,
and
it allows you
24 balls, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so with the batting, it allows you to go supersonic because suddenly you can have a Phil Salt. Like, remember when Mike, it might be before your time. Do you remember Michael Lum playing?
I briefly remember it. I think I caught him towards the end.
Yeah, I think Michael Lum had this great little period where he was averaging about 20 or 25, basically like Narayan, where he was striking at a ridiculous rate. And I kept saying, I don't know how useful this is because it means everyone else has to bat longer around him. Michael Lum would be perfect for T20 for the impact sub era, right? His ability to come in and smash fours and sixes and get you off to a great start, maximizing that dangerous period. And then your really good players start attacking from overs 4, 5, 6, and then they don't stop in over 7. So everything is aimed towards the more talented batter.
Yeah, and it's, as you were saying, we're seeing run scoring has gone, usually trended upwards in almost all the leagues, hasn't it? But it's gone into like exponential gear in the IPL. And what even is the theoretical limit anymore, Jared? Like, are we going to get to a point where 12 runs and over is the limit?
So that's what you and I have to work out over the next little while. When I wrote this piece, this is actually probably a series of 3 pieces, I think, at the moment. I think this piece is obvious. I wanted to show what the impact sub had done specifically, but also what it has opened up for batters, because I do think that even outside of the impact sub, we're going to see players go, okay, wait a minute, we can score so much quicker in this period of the game than we have been. I think the next thing is, what is the limit? And me and Rob were talking about this the other day. We both think it can get faster, but we also think at the moment it is capped. And we think it's capped. And for the I think free hits is the magic sort of thing here. Of, we know that players only ever score so fast with free hits. So the one of the more interesting things, and this will probably be explained more in the second piece, is that the runs per over in free hits has not gone up, right? So everything else has gone up in T20 cricket, but not the runs per over in free hits. And so that's really interesting. And then the third thing is that if you take a bird's eye view of cricket, this is part of the eternal battle between bat and ball, right? And that at different times, different things have happened. Legislations, law changes, equipment changes, agricultural changes to change the balance between bat and ball. And the impact sub is the latest thing to do that, right? And it has come in and it has changed the balance. And we see these things happen. Sometimes they just happen randomly, like, you know, reverse swing. No one really expected reverse swing to come along. The wobble balls. Those two are really fascinating ones. DRS. We just wanted to get LBWs correct, right? We didn't realize it would have such a big effect on the entire game, right? We just wanted to make sure that the TV didn't have more information than the people on the field. But actually, as we've seen with many sports, when you bring in technology, it actually changes how the sport is played on the field. So you have all these different things that have happened. And the impact sub is maybe the most, you know, obvious one of where we are going. And we also have to start making a decision as a sport of where we want to go. Is there a way that we can have substitutions in batting, but we also make it so that you can better use your bowlers, right? Is a cricket game better if Jasper Bumrah can only bowl four overs, but Virat Kohli can bat 20? Or that's is it better if he can bowl eight overs? Right?
Yeah. The other thing, as we were discussing in the group, is the person that decided that you have 10 wickets in a test match, in an ODI, in a T20, needs to be pushed off a cliff. Like, who decided that, right? I mean, surely, like, it's a fraction of the overs with the same wicket resources. Of course, the bat is going to be batting heavy.
Yeah.
And you've on top of that, you limited how much a bowler can bowl, right? Because a test cricket is the ultimate bowler's format for a very simple reason. A bowler can bowl as much as he wants, and the batters can't attack a lot because the wicketer is the scarce resource. You have to bat for like 100 overs, and you only have 10 wickets in hand. In T20 cricket, you only have to bat 20 overs, and you still have 10 wickets in hand. A bowler can only bowl 24 balls.
Mm.
Which idiot decided this, right? So you were talking about the balance of the game. I think the only way you could stop this, everyone always talks about, oh, we need balanced pitches. Like, even on balanced pitches, we're seeing this, right? This is one of my least favorite arguments. People are like, oh, we need to go back to the old IPL days of balanced pitches where 160 to 180 is par. I'm like, okay, do you want 160 to 180 pitches or do you want balanced pitches? They're not the same thing anymore. Because just because of pure natural evolution,
yes,
a balanced pitch like 10 years ago might have been 160 to 180. That's 180 to 200 now. That's got nothing to do with the impacts of error, right?
So, no, I think you're right. That's the thing that people don't understand is these run rates were going up anyway,
same thing,
right?
With ODI cricket, right? You see all these ODI fans are like, oh, we need to go back to a 250 to 270 spot. I'm like, on a balanced pitch, no, you're going to see 280 to 300. Are we saying that like these guys have not gotten better? Right, it's like I think that I remember thinking this during the Champions Trophy when India kept making 260. The same Indian team 20 years ago would have made 240 on those pitches, right? They're just better at batting quicker now, right? And that's what my point is. The only way I think you can stop batters dominating is you either have to limit the wicket resources, so either change it from 10 to 6 or 10 to 5, or bowlers don't have any over limits. The other thing you could do is no fielding restrictions, right? Decide on one thing and change it, because otherwise, like, I don't know what else you can do with right? Unless we get like the pink ball in T20 cricket that just puts everything to the fire, right? Or new.
Well, there is interesting things with the fielding restrictions as well. Of
yeah,
at the moment we go from one extreme to another. There's no middle ground, right? And so, do we really want a situation where teams score 80 runs in the power play, and then there's a long lull until the end of the game?
Hmm.
Right? So we have to think about this is what frustrates me. It doesn't matter if it's the IPL or the ICC or any of these cricket boards who run this. They never think about cricket, right? What's the best option for cricket? So my opinion has always been that the middle overs of limited overs are shit. And they are shit very specifically because batters are worried about losing their wickets. And bowlers will just bowl defensively and keep them in as long as possible. And so you don't get the boundaries that you deserve. So doing something as simple as I've been talking about for years of having the two fielders out in the first five, three in the next five, four in the next five, five in the next five, right, allows you for the batters to keep taking chances. You have different kind of specialist bowlers that will have to come in. You can't just bowl the same.
You're promoting attacking cricket, aren't you, on both fronts?
Right. And so even little things, we've seen the way that the ODI, the teams look out for, you know, the who bowls the last five overs of the 35th to the 40th over has completely changed over the years, right? We're now seeing teams are like, they use their death bowlers there. Then they bring back on maybe a spinner or something from 40 to 44. Yeah, these patterns are changing because that is a more interesting thing. Teams are trying to hit boundaries at the end of the 30th over in a way that they just weren't doing before, right? So little things like that can actually really help cricket. So what we're in danger of with the impact sub, as if we just keep this regulation in, is we might end up with 100 runs being scored in the power play, right? But you lose so many wickets to do that, you might not even score 100 runs after the power play. Right?
Didn't Siraj do that in one of the games?
I'm just pretty sure they actually did do that, yeah. And so is that what we want, right? Like, what do we want? As you said, if you want a balance, right, there are actually many different ways that we can bring about a balance, right? Bouvi could bowl all the way through.
That's my issue with these idiots, Jared, is they're doing everything they can. They're like, oh, they don't want to mess with the core principles of the game. You idiots, stop doing that, right? You want to create a better product. If you think, if you have... no law is ever 100% certain. Think about how often the ICC was messing with the laws back in the day, right? We never had the same overs. And like, you could play like a 45-over game in one day and like 55-over game on the next one. No one knows what the fuck was happening. Experiment with them, right? Stop thinking that this is set in stone. You're allowed to be flexible with it, right? Even though, like, you and I think the BCCI could have done a better job with the impact sub, it should be proper subs, but at the very least, they're trying something different. And this is one of the things I hate about cricket fans. They're the most stubborn idiots on earth, right? The first thing to any new change is always met with criticism. These idiots, and I hate them for it.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today. Yeah, and the thing is, as you said before, we cannot go back to what one day cricket was, right? Let's forget T20 cricket for a moment. We can't go back to it because this is the same thing I have with people who hate DRS and VAR, right? There's a cricket writer, I won't out him, but he hates DRS and VAR. And I said, so your option is that the TV companies can show the correct decision and everyone around the world, 98% of the fans know the correct decision, but the wrong decision keeps being called on the field. That's your option here, right? And as you said before, in order to gerrymander it so that teams go back to scoring 220 to 230, right, we would have to have these ridiculously over-the-top wickets, right? That's not what we're talking about. We understand that there has been, and one-day cricket shows this better than T20 cricket, this beautiful evolution of people scoring quicker as they release themselves from the orthodoxy of Test cricket, as the bats have got better, as batters have started doing range hitting, as batters have started working out. Remember, batters weren't muscular at all before. they weren't core strong very often. They weren't physically strong. There was always exceptions to that, but there are heaps of players who weren't like that, right? As all these things happened, of course, you were going to maximize bad balls more, right? There is no way to put that into the box, right? Unless you start, the only way to do it would be to start saying that bats have to be made incorrectly from here on in.
Yeah.
Where instead of having big wide middles, we make smaller middles. And it's like, well, what? How do we even do that? And how do we tell what a middle is on a bat? Like, there's no ways of doing that. A 2-pound-8 bat now is probably more likely to get you boundaries than a 3-pound bat would have two generations ago, just because the middle is bigger, right? The 3-pound bat will still hit the ball further, right? But you have to hit it in the middle every time. Whereas with the new bats, they found a way to basically extend the middle right across the bat face, right? All these little things that have changed, there's no genie going back into the bottle on this, right? And so we have to understand that cricket has actually changed, right? And you watch the shots that kids play. You know, even the old idea of when one day cricket started, having five fielders outside the rope actually shut off all the boundary options, right? You can't hit, you can't guide the ball down to third man anymore. You can't just slash it away on the offside. You know, long off wasn't a particularly positive shot, but if you want to bring third man up, you can guide it down to third, but it's a risky shot. And now you've got long off back on the rope. You've got three fielders out on the leg side. That cut off almost all the options, right? And then through Marilia and Dilshan and Ryan Campbell and this whole generation of scoopers, we have those shots. And then we have, you know, Mean Dad and Martin and Rayner pumping the ball over cover, right? Suddenly, five men out doesn't make any sense anymore. Now, there's so many different ways that you can hit the balls. On top of that is the ability to hit sixes. That comes back to range hitting, right? It comes back to core strength. It comes back to understanding launch angles, right? Modern cricketers study launch angles to make sure that they don't hit the ball too low or too high.
I think ECB did this, right? I believe it's 42 degrees is the optimal launch angle they found, yeah. Yeah. And then Cricket Australia did their own thing and they were like, oh no, it's not 42, it's 37 actually.
Yeah, it's basically around that, right? And so if you go back and you look at sixes in the old days, they were hit a lot higher. People, when they were trying to hit a six, would hit the ball up. And then we were like, well, actually, we don't need to do that. We can understand it. Little things like that. How do you put that back in the box? How do you take that information away from someone, right? You know, and have you ever seen the video of Flintoff and Butler doing a six-inning competition together? Like, Flintoff is playing traditional cricket and he's bigger and stronger than Butler. And Butler is hitting the ball almost like an ice hockey or a golfer, right? And just hitting it twice as far, right? We have guys like Matthew Wade and Nicholas Puran who aren't even big dudes who hit the ball. I mean, Abhishek Sharma's not like a behemoth, right?
Yeah, KL Rahul is not a behemoth, right?
Yeah.
We've seen KL make 50 or 14.
Right. And so these guys now understand weight transference and bat speed and launch angles and power through the ground. What do they call it? Power force down. All these sorts of things that didn't even exist before. Right. We didn't know. You either did it naturally, you didn't do it at all. You can't put that away. So what you have to do is look at, you know, the MCC came up with that regulation years ago about limiting the size of the edges on the bats. I thought at the time it was probably a bit silly. Even looking back at it, I think it's a little bit silly. But we have to keep looking at regulations like that, right, in order to understand what we're doing. So when something like the impact sub comes in, great. Can we come up with something just as equally exciting that will help the bowling team as well? Mm-hmm. Right. And I think is it something as simple as, and I'm just throwing this out here now, but like, is a bold worth two wickets rather than one wicket? Do we really want to see wide Yorkers over and over again? Right. like we have to start thinking about actually better ways to make cricket more exciting. What wide Yorkers and wide bouncers are the two most boring and tedious deliveries that we can see. Right. Wouldn't we much prefer to legislate so that bowlers have to aim at the stumps a little bit more, right? Like, are there other ways that we can look at this? Like, I don't know, if you get a bowl, do you also get five runs taken off the opposition? I'm not saying we go there now, but these are the sorts of things that we should be thinking about looking at going ahead. And at the moment, look at where we are, right? We're in this weird situation where the bowlers are bowling crappy slower balls wider and wider, earlier and earlier, and the impact sub is only helping one side of the game.
Yeah, the other thing we were discussing in the chat today was, I don't know, it's quite convenient that we were discussing this today when we were doing this footmarks was. So I think Karthikeya, or cricketing view on Twitter, he made an interesting point that you can't only look at dot balls in T20 cricket because you have to look at dot balls and singles because both of them are below the average run rate. Yeah. Whereas in ODI cricket, it's only the dot, which is below the average run rate. And it's funny because you see a lot of these older batters, they're like, our modern batters can't take singles anymore. I'm like, well, yeah, of course they're not going to try to take singles. It's below the normal run rate. Why would they want to take singles? At least with dot balls, they're like, okay, if I play two dots, I'm going to try hitting the next two for sixes, right? Do you think that's the next thing that will happen with batters? They're like, well, why are we taking singles here? Because we're starting to see that a bit. And that's the other thing which can increase the scoring limit more, isn't it? When batters realize that.
Yeah, we've already seen, was it Tim David knock back a single in the 15th over? So I had this conversation with Corin Pollard in 2018 where him and Andre Fletcher were facing a off spinner together and Corin Pollard mishit the first ball out to long on and took a single. And I said to him, why'd you take the single? He goes, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that if I faced all six balls, we would score more runs than if Andre Fletcher faced that ball. And I went, yeah, I am going to say that. And he said, do you know how much flack I would get for doing that? And I said, yes, but that means you're not doing it for the right. You're not doing it, and it's for the wrong reason, right? The reason should be, I'm not sure I can score more than me and Andre Fletcher can together. Because if that isn't the reason, what's the point of having that of having that kind of conversation? And I do believe that Corin Pollard towards the end of his career did do that a few times. Not saying it was about me, because as I said, he's a smart guy. He was already there before I even said it. But the point being is that that players already know about this. Like retired outs. Brad Hodge told me that like from the early part of T20 cricket, retire outs have been talked about, but they were worried about the flak, right? As players accept all of these things, and we've seen this with Mancads as well, right? And you know what happened with Bairstow and Kerry. People are more likely to say now, it doesn't make any sense. If you're out of your crease, you can be run out, right? It's not bad sportsmanship. The crease is painted there, and it doesn't make sense to us that you should get a free run, a free head start, or be out of your crease at that stage. And I think we're starting to see batters look at the game in a similar way. The David Miller one is another, you know, situation of that. And when it goes wrong, David Miller is absolutely, you know, lambasted. And we both know if he knocked that ball, next ball for six, it would have been like, what an alpha move, what a legend. And it's like, when it comes down to it, you are trying to optimize your chances of winning. And I think that that hopefully in the future becomes more of a accepted way of playing. That will, as you said, will send that run rate up further, right? So again, it can't just be that teams do that. There has to be something. I think in baseball, they had a situation where they moved the mound back, right? Because pitchers were just pitching too fast. And it meant that one side of the game wasn't working. Now, I think with baseball and cricket both have the same issue. Hardcore fans probably prefer a tight, interesting contest. Casual fans prefer home runs and sixes, right? And so you're always stuck in the middle of that. That's why I have always thought, well, let's just take away a lot of these, you know, random arbitrary rules, as you said. Do you even know why the circle is there?
The 30-out circle.
Yeah. Do you know how it started?
No.
Basically, it was because teams were putting the fielders out too quickly, right? And in South Africa during apartheid cricket, this wasn't even international cricket. They realized that you could artificially make it more exciting at the start of the game, right? So if they worked that out in the 70s, why can't we consistently make it more exciting all the way through the game, right?
And why did we decide that whoever made the laws back in the 90s clearly did the right thing and we don't have to change anymore, right?
Exactly. And that's kind of what I'm saying as well. Like, for instance, cricket is more entertaining when the ball is hard. Bowling is better. The batting is better, right? When softball cricket is flaccid, right? It just is, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing I was telling you, right, is if you're a bowler, surely you should be given the chance. Do you want the really old ball or do you want a really new ball?
Exactly, yeah.
Because at the death of it, surely like the Bhuvi would want a different ball than a Bumrah would, right?
Exactly.
It can't be 100%. That they want the same ball.
And so do we not want fast bowlers coming in and bowling really quick in the 15th over because they've got a hard ball? I'm not saying a new ball in this situation. I'm saying a hard ball, right? Mm-hmm. Do we want spinners to come in bowling underarm balls, sliding quicker ones, or do we want spinners coming in and trying to rip the ball and get it to bounce and spin, right? Like, again, it makes more sense to have a harder, nicer ball to use than it does to get these soft balls where you get Shivam Dubey can't even hit a six, right? Like, it's just like nothing happens. And I think what we've created at the moment is this fascinating experiment in the IPL where we get a hard ball and we get incredible batting excitement for about 8 to 9 overs. And then we get this dreary thing of people hoping they can find a boundary at the end. And the bowler's bowling slower and slower or wider and wider over and over again, right? Is that so? Again, we just need to have these conversations. And the issue is, Varun, that quite often the people who run the cricket do not have these conversations. Not only do they not have them, they consider it nerd talk. And they get former players in who haven't done any research and come in with, the problem is that batters have, all the pitches are too flat or whatever their take is. And they're not looking at all the other things that have changed. People really in cricket need to start having conversations of what do we want the product to be? What do we want our sport to be? What is the best representation of cricket? And I just don't believe it is 85 for none after 6 overs, right? Making 195. I just don't think that is exactly the best spectacle for the game as it is currently set up. And I think there are too many lulls that don't need to be there and too many rules, as you said before, that were come up with in the 60s and 70s that we've just kept.
Yep. All right, folks, that's all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening up to this point. Tell us what you think will happen next and what are some of your remedies for how batters can stop being so, like, what would that word be? Explosive? Keep dominating the game? What laws would you change? Would you change anything? Would you not change anything? Are you one of those people that just wants to bin T20 cricket altogether? So thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.